It's 244 in your hymn book. Well, some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. He's coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall ride. We're headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall ride. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when to meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising.
Looking forward to it. Amen. God bless you this evening. Good to be gathered together again to worship the Lord. And want to remember Sister Patty Ard in prayer. She's not feeling well this evening. And also want to continue to remember Sister April Stutzman, not feeling well. How many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Hoover, would you come and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We've gathered together in your name, Lord, according to your word. We've come, Lord, your Jesus, according to your word. And you said, Lord, that if we would come, Lord, in your name, that you would be here in our midst. And Lord, we've made our requests known, our supplications known now. Lord, your Jesus, you said that if we ask in faith, believing, and doubted not in our heart, Lord, that there was nothing that you would withhold from us. So we ask that you would touch these sisters that the request was made for, Lord, that you would touch their bodies now. Raise them up, Lord, that they can testify of your healing power, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for each of those, Lord, that had a request this morning, Lord, that you would continue to move in their behalf. Lord, in this service tonight, Lord, we just ask that your word would come forth with the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Come down the aisle, Lord, stop at each pew, Lord. You know each need and each life. Lord, you answer that. You supply as only you can, Lord. We're believing, Lord. We just come to you now, Lord, and give you the remainder of this service and ask that you would just bless. Sanctify us, Lord, that we could receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Blessings tonight. Amen. Stand and help me sing this tonight, number 7 in your hymn book. Oh, I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. How we'll raise the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing, when the redeemed gathering in. Oh, there will be a great procession over all the streets of gold. Our gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing, or that city will be rolled with the redeemed. Our gathering in. Oh, in the redeemed. Our gathering in. Washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed. Shake somebody's hand while we're singing tonight. Come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed. Oh, one more time together. Oh, and the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow, free from all sin. Oh, how we'll shout, how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. I believe some of the redeemed are gathered here tonight. Amen. Amen. It's good to be. We don't claim to be all that are redeemed, but we claim to be part of them. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Luke's Gospel. St. Luke chapter 8. And just want to look at one verse tonight in St. Luke chapter 8. I'm going to look at verse 35. And this is after the maniac of Gadara. He said, the demons spoke out of him, said, Our name is Legion because they were many. And Jesus had rebuked these demons that had this man bound. And in doing so, they pled with him, said, don't just send us out to nothing, but maybe you can just send us over into some swine over here. And so he sent them into the swine, and they ran down the mountain and killed themselves. And now there's a group of people that's going to observe what's taking place here. St. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I want to look at that first part of the verse again. Then they went out to see what was done. And I want to take a thought tonight. I'm not going to really preach to you. I'm just going to kind of testify to you on look what God has done. And Brother Jack Duff had asked that when I come there a little over a week from now, their Friday night service is kind of like our Wednesday night service. It's mainly just home folks. And he asked if I would just kind of share what the Lord has done for our church, to kind of try to encourage the people there. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do that there, maybe I should do something like that here and just testify and give glory to some of the things that God has done. And I won't be able to remember them all, and some of them I may not even know about, but we just want to look at what God has done for us tonight. So you just pray with me that the Lord will lead and guide, and that it'll be a blessing. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're able to look around visibly with our eyes and see some of the things that you've done for us, Lord. And other things our mind can go back and recall, Lord, how that you reached down, you saved us when we were lost. You picked us up out of the miry clay. And then, Father, you went on to fill us with the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, to give us families that are serving you, Lord, and to bless us, Lord, with a place to go to church, Lord. You healed us when we were sick. You mended us when we were broken. Lord, you healed our wounds, Lord. Father, when we had scars and things in our lives, Father, you come along, and Lord, you give some balm of Gilead to help us along the way. And Lord, we just want to take a little time tonight, Lord, being a Sunday evening service, and just kind of to set aside something a little different, maybe out of the ordinary. But Father, we just ask that you'd be with us tonight, and we just want to give glory to you, Father, for some of the things that we've seen you do. We thank you, Father, as we look around and begin to recognize some of the things that you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. And I'm just going to take you through some church history, not the Ephesian church age or anything about Luther or Wesley or anything like that, but some of the Church of the Open Door history. And in June of 2011, my wife and I had a conversation, and it led to me feeling led to do to start the work that we started in the home. And June the 19th, 2011, was our first service in the home. And it was me and Rebecca, and Philip and Nathaniel were on her lap in a recliner. And I had a little 4-foot folding table that many of you remember. We had it as our pulpit for several years at the church. And when we had decorated our home, when we got married, my in-laws had given us two pictures that I believe a brother had given them, one of them, and they had purchased the other one. And we put them up in our home, and now they're in our church, the Hoffman's Head of Christ and the Pillar of Fire. And another friend of ours had given us a big clock, and we had placed that on one side of the living room and these pictures on the other side of the living room, and didn't really plan it that way. But when we started having church, I realized the pictures were on the wall behind me, and the clock was on the wall right across in the living room. So the Lord already had a plan. And there was many different things that the Lord already provided us many years before, not knowing what we were going to do. But the Lord had already provided just about everything that we had need of. And had the first service in the home, and I played a little clip, about a 5-minute clip of Brother Branham dedicating a church. Might have been the church down there where your dad was from, or the one in Owensboro. I can't remember exactly which church dedication service that it was, but We played a clip from that. And we had our prayer requests and our song service, and we just had church. And I preached on the thought of finding the little shoe. And I took where Brother Bram talked about that family that when they got divorced, they went up into the attic and began to separate everything and said, oh, this is mine, and you better not try to get that or I'll sue you and this and that. And they finally got to one little shoe, and they both reached and grabbed it. And they found something they had in common. And I was just trying to direct us that instead of, you know, sometimes around message churches, you quickly try to find out what somebody believes. And if you're not careful, you begin to nitpick and dwell on what they disagree with you on instead of looking at the 975 other things that you agree on. And I was talking on finding the little shoe and not knowing what the church would become or even what the church name would be. I think it's fitting that that was the first sermon that we had there at the service, at the church. And a few weeks later, my brother Anthony had asked me where we were at and what we were doing. And I told him what we were doing. He said, well, can we come visit? And I said, well, you can come. We're not really trying to pull anybody away. I wasn't trying to build a church at the time. I thought for sure that the phone was going to ring someday and somebody was going to say, Brother Nathan, so-and-so left the church or passed away or whatever. We want you to come and take this church. And I thought, God's just going to train me for a few months in the home, Brother Hoover, and then that's what's going to take place. And so I said, well, we're not trying to pull anybody away or anything. This is just what we felt led to do. And he said, well, can we come? And I said, sure, we'll leave the front door open about half an hour before service, and you just come on if you want to come. That's kind of how the name Church of the Open Door got started. We would just leave that front living room door open. And then I heard a quote where Brother Bram said he liked that church name. And so they started to come. And then about a month later, Mom and Dad couldn't handle those grandbabies being over there without them, and they started to come. And we started, Brother Morris, my uncle, he had a lot of back problems at the time. And so he started asking me about every other Sunday to come down there and preach for him, just because he physically wasn't able to really minister like he wanted to. And so every other Sunday we'd go down there and I'd just take the whole church with me. And we would go down there and had some wonderful times. And Rebecca was pregnant with Ruth at the time, I guess, and a lot of trips back and forth to Liberty with the pregnant wife. And then Ruth came along, and then Brother Stephen and Sister Jennifer came along, and we the church began to grow a little bit. And then we started to get a few families that was visiting, and it got to be where some services we had about 30 people in my living room in folding chairs. And we would take the couches and the furniture and everything and move it into the kitchen, set up folding chairs. And then it got to where there wasn't enough room for the pulpit and the folding chairs. So we'd move my pulpit into the kitchen and the folding chairs facing the other direction. And we had some wonderful services there at the home. And some of you that are here tonight was able to attend at least a handful of them and had some wonderful times. I remember our first communion service. Brother Anthony and Sister Tina had asked us, they said, what are we going to do about communion? And I said, well, what do you want to do? And they said, well, we want to have it. And I said, all right. So I took the first tithe check that came into the church and went down to the Christian bookstore and bought some trays and found some buckets somewhere to wash feet in. And lo and behold, the first communion service we had, half the church was out of town. And so it was a small communion service. But that was the first service Brother Stephen visited. And the foot washing room was Ruth's nursery. And I don't even think she was born at the time when that took place. But we had already made a nursery for her there. And so I went down the hall and washed Brother Stephen's feet. And then he came back in. And me and my wife went down the hall and I washed her feet. And we had foot washing and communion. And it was a good communion service, though. I remember I took and talked about why we have communion and different ideas that people have about communion, but what Brother Branham taught on it, and just a humble little service. Didn't get a whole lot of amens, you know, because there's only two adults there, but I got a few amens, Brother Yarborough. It wasn't bad. And then as we started to grow, I began to realize the neighbors were going to probably start complaining about the parking situation and different things. So we started looking around, and we in February of 2012, we started renting the Prather one-room schoolhouse there in Charlestown. And at that time, I think we had about, I don't know exactly how many people we had coming officially. Just, I guess, us and Mom and Dad and Anthony and Tina and the Soderquists at that time. And so we started having services there. And then Brother Levi and Sister Rachel started coming. And I got a piano player, and it wasn't just me and a guitar up there anymore, but we got some additional music. And then Sister Stephanie and Nathaniel started coming, and different ones. And I think we had 24 people coming when we left there. And we had some wonderful services in there. It was a big old building that echoed real bad, but we had some wonderful times there and some special meetings there. I remember we had Brother Trevor preach for us one 4th of July service. And when we did, there was a brownout where the electricity went out because of the heat for about a 3-mile radius. And this old one-room schoolhouse, they had painted the windows shut so you couldn't raise any windows. And there was no air condition. And we had, Brother Furman, was you there that service? I thought you and Brother Eddie were. They had visited in some different ones. And we had, probably 60 or more people packed in there, and there was people that was getting sick and vomiting and different things. I told Brother Levi Collins, I said, you better run down and get a case of waters. I'd rather break a little bit of church order than somebody pass out. And so we handed out bottled waters to everybody. And Brother Trevor sweated. He doesn't usually sweat as bad as I do, but he sweated pretty bad that service. And I wasn't even preaching, but I sweated so bad that the colors in my tie ran into the, it was a striped tie. And it had like a salmon and a cream color, and the salmon colors ran into the cream of the tie. And so it was a hot service. Mom and Dad said they had been to some tent meetings where it was pretty hot, but at least there was a breeze blowing under the flaps of the tent, and I think it was the hottest service they'd ever been in. But it was a good service. It was a good service. We had a good time. And some additional families started to come at that time. We had some miraculous healings at that time. I know there were several sisters healed instantly of back problems and different things. And God just began to lead people that direction at that time in just ways that amazed me. And there at the schoolhouse was probably some of the most discouraging times for me as far as just the way things were going. We were renting the place, and sometimes they would double book us, and sometimes they would have somebody there on a Saturday night with a shower, and they wouldn't get out. Me and Anthony would be driving around a minivan that we had bought to store all the PA equipment and the chairs, and we'd circle and circle and circle until they were gone. And about 11 o'clock, sometimes they'd get out of there, and we'd go in and set up the chairs and the PA and the piano, and we'd get home about 1 o'clock, and then I'd study till about 3 o'clock because I was still working full-time then. And then I'd go and preach the next morning. Sometimes there'd be 17, sometimes there'd be 4. You know, it didn't matter so much the numbers, but we had some good services and some good times there. And I remember one service, God just began to do some things where you could tell God was supernaturally doing some things to lead people that direction. And we had a family, one service, they'd got up and got ready, and they had a relative that was staying with them, and she was a young girl, and they began to head, you don't mind me calling names tonight, do you, I guess, as long as it doesn't get too personal. It was Brother Joel and Sister Christy. They were headed to church somewhere else, and they got in the car and headed there, her little niece, she said, "What does it mean to be a Christian?" Well, what does it mean? She's been to this church and that church and all these different things. But she said, what does it mean to be a Christian? And so Brother Joel, he kind of just started to turn the van and headed a different direction and drove up to the church there at the schoolhouse. And they walk in and sit down, and I came out and I said, "Well, I've got kind of an odd title this morning. What does it mean to be a Christian?" And we began to find out very quickly that God works on both ends of the line. And we begin to see a lot of different things like that. I would come in sometimes, and they would let us, if they didn't have anything between Sunday night and Wednesday, or Sunday and Wednesday, they would let us just leave our stuff set up. And I'd come in sometimes on a Wednesday, and they would have this picture, or we had the smaller pictures at the time there at the schoolhouse, I think. But we had the same pictures, just a different size up there. They had a fireplace, and we had them up on the mantle. And I'd come in some services and on a Wednesday night, and this picture would still be up, but they would have taken this picture and laid it face down on my little table there. And so I thought, well, this is going to be a problem. So They told us, they said, well, you need to stop renting it because you're tying up too many dates. But I think somebody there may have been offended by that. And I thought, well, if they're offended by that, then God will provide us something better. And so we started looking around, and me and Brother Stephen and my dad and different ones, we looked at some different places and looked at a few different storefronts. Some of them were just too expensive, and some of them just weren't laid out right. And I called two realtors, and they didn't even return my phone calls. And then I called another realtor, and he got back with me. He said, describe to me what you want. I described to him. He said, I have a place that's laid out exactly like what you're talking about. He said, it used to be a women's gym. And so we went to the storefront, and there was a big sign on the wall said curves for women. I thought, that's got to go. And I don't want to get that reputation. Church of the Curves for Women. That's not what we wanted to be known as. So we quickly painted over that, and we rented it. And it was a big leap of faith to step out and rent that at the time with 24 people coming. Didn't have hardly enough tithes to make the payments on it and the utilities, but we had our dedication service and one of the first meetings there, we had a dedication service. Brother Jack came and preached it for us, and Brother Jack had actually come and preached in the home for us there too. Our first special meetings, our first guest minister, when we were still in the home, Brother Jack had came and preached for us. He preached on bringing forth fruit with patience. And as a friend of mine would say, it was almost prophetic. I've got a buddy, he'll tell me every once in a while, he said, "My, I heard this preacher the other day," and he said, "It was almost prophetic." I said, "I don't know what that means, almost prophetic. Does that mean he said a few things, but they weren't really right, or what does that mean, almost prophetic?" But I think I know what he means. Brother Jack said some things that I don't think he was meaning to prophesy, but we've seen some things come to pass just exactly the way that he was describing in his sermon there, and I appreciate him following the leading of the Lord. And so he came and preached the dedication service, and I think we had about 120 people there at the dedication. And I thought, my, 24 people in the church and 120 something people for the dedication. It kind of surprised me. And then do you mind me calling names on that part? Brother Layton had called me. He wasn't even attending the church yet, and I haven't. He had asked me one time not to share it because he didn't want to get the glory from it. But you saw I got his permission tonight. And he called me and he said, me and my son were at your service at the dedication. He said, we noticed you're using a little folding table there for a pulpit. And he said, we had it on our heart to get you a pulpit. You just pray for me tonight. Some of these things, they just mean special things to you. And me and my wife had been looking online, and we saw a pulpit. We were looking on eBay and all these different websites and things trying to find a pulpit. And we found a pulpit that was, I said, if I was going to design a pulpit, that's exactly how I would design it. But it was about $1,100. I thought, my, that'd be a lot of tithe money, especially at that time, to put into a pulpit when we only had a handful of people. And I think that was more than a month's rent or about a month's rent there at the church building. And so I said, well, maybe someday we'll have somebody build us one, or we'll find one, when we can build up a little bit more money in the church. And so he calls me and said, we found a pulpit, and we called them, and they want us to come look at it. He said, I'd like you to look at it. And he said, it's in Brandenburg, Kentucky, I think. Brandenburg, Kentucky. And so Brother Paul and Brother Layton came and picked me up and got me in Paul's truck, and we headed to Brandenburg and was just fellowship and having a good time. He said, I've got some print-offs here I want you to look at to make sure it's something you're interested in before we go get it. And he hands me the print-off, Brother Hoover, and it's not just similar to the pulpit. It was the pulpit that we had picked out online that we thought it would be just so wonderful to have. And so they had, I think Paul had wheeled and dealed with them or something. They'd come down to $300 on it. And so we headed to Brandenburg, and we got there, and the lady, it was a Baptist church, I think, they had been unable to keep the church going, and so a lady had come in and bought it and was using it as like a place for people that didn't have a home to come and live, like a refuge. And she said, we're just ripping everything out, the pulpit and the guitars and the instruments and anything. She said, anything you want, some pews? And I said, well, we don't really have a good place to store all the pews at this time. We had a handful of chairs and was all we needed at the time. And And but she said, well, she got to looking at it, and she said, oh, my. And she said, when they moved that, it looks like there's a crack in it. She said, I just hate to sell it to you for that with the crack in it. She said, how's $100? Brother Layton said, well, how about we meet in the middle and make it 200? And so they bought the pulpit for us. They weren't even attending the church then. It meant so much to me just to see God moving and laying things on people's heart like that. And so we came back, and it wasn't very long, though. They started coming, Brother Yarborough and Luke and Stephanie and Sister Mary Beth and different ones. And it just seemed like overnight we went from about 24 to about 40 people. And then it just kept growing and growing, the Lord doing some wonderful things. And we had some... It's just some miraculous things that happened there. And we had some rumors and lies told on us and all kinds of things. Somebody started telling around that I preached that you couldn't wear red. And I thought, well, goodness, I wish somebody had told me. I had preached in red a Sunday morning a couple of Sundays before that. And I didn't get my own memo, I guess. But was just telling all kinds of things, you know. But we expected that. And that was one of the things Brother Jack had said when he was here and preached for us the first time. He said, you know, he'd never seen anybody. He said in Florida what they do is if you've got a tree and it's overhanging your property line, there's some fruit on there. He said people walk by, and if they don't have to come on your property line, they can throw rocks or sticks or whatever, knock off that fruit, and it's theirs. It's off of your property line. And he said, but he had never seen anybody throw rocks or sticks at a tree that didn't have fruit in it. And he said, so if somebody's throwing rocks and sticks, it's because they're just trying to hinder something that's got some fruit on it. So that encouraged me many times. And we begin to see God provide and do things not only for the church, but for some of the families in the church. And had testimonies start coming in about tithing. And I'll just share a couple tonight. And I won't name names on that portion. But had one sister, she told me, she said, I want to share something with you, Brother Nathan. She said, I believe in paying tithes, and we know what Brother Bram said about those things. And she said, I had my some of my utilities was turned off, and I had to pay to have those turned back on, had to pay a deposit to do that. And she said, what I did, I wasn't going to have enough money to make that bill and pay my tithes too. And she said, so I thought, Lord, well, you've taken care of me this far. I'll just go ahead and pay my tithes. And she paid her tithes, I don't remember what it was, $200 or $300 or something dollars, and then she owed, I think, $400 in utilities or something, didn't have enough money to pay them both. She wrote out the check, gave it to the church on Sunday. She didn't tell me about it till Monday. And so when she's telling me about this on Monday, she said, I went out to the mailbox this morning and said, when I opened the mailbox, I had a letter from my work. And I thought that was strange. She wasn't expecting a letter from them. And she opened it up and they said, because you've been doing such a good job, we wanted to give you a $1,000 bonus. He's an on-time God. Amen. Many times, we get to a spot where I think we're almost afraid to depend on him. But I'm dependent on him for every breath that I take. I'm dependent on him for my family's safety, and I'm dependent on him for my health. I'm dependent on him for our finances. I've just learned to depend on him. Sometimes he has to pull the rug out of our feet a few times to depend on him, but we recognize very quickly that we need to depend on him. And had another family one time, they owed, I think, $98 tithes, and they had written out the check that morning, and I think they had like $102 or something in the bank, and it was going to leave him with $4. And the wife asked the husband, she said, what do you want me to do? He said, write out the check. And so she wrote out the check, and they didn't realize it, but the service before, I had given them a Christmas card, and they put it in there. The brother handed it to her, said, this is a Christmas card from Brother Nathan or something. They put it down in her purse and forgot about it. And that Sunday morning, they got to church, and she wrote out the $98 worth of tithes and put it in the offering plate, and she pointed in her purse and said, what is that? He said, that's that card from Brother Nathan that I put in there. And she opened it up. There was a $100 gift certificate. So they gained $2. Another brother told me, he said, Brother Nathan, he said, I've been behind on tithes for quite a while. And he said, just this week, he said, I paid in enough tithes to get caught up with where I was supposed to be. And he said, I paid it on Sunday. And on Monday, I went in and my boss called me into his office and said, I need to talk to you a minute. And he said, I thought, this is never good. And so he went into the man's office, and his boss and his boss's boss was both sitting there. He thought, this is going to be trouble for sure. And his boss's boss said to him, he said, look, I want to tell you something. He said, your boss he's going to be moving to a different department, and he's recommended you to take his position, and we want to offer it to you, and it'll be a 20% increase. So he paid 10% and got 20%. So, amen. We know that God's able to provide. We saw so many healings over there at the storefront and just different things that God had did. I think one night on a Wednesday night, Brother Layton had preached and some people came up for prayer afterwards and five people were instantaneously healed in the service. One had back problems. I think two had knee problems. I don't remember what all the others were, but five people instantaneously healed. And we began to recognize God's still God. Amen. And we had some wonderful special meetings, different guest ministers that would come through, and Brother Danny Steeman, Brother Jason Watkins, Brother Tim Pruitt, Brother Ron Spencer, different brothers that came through and spoke for us, and just some wonderful times that we had there at the church. And just seemed like every time God would send somebody our way, they'd have something for somebody just exactly what they needed at the time. And we've seen God do that. And I began to pray about going full-time into the ministry and had kind of put a fleece before the Lord of some things that if they would work out that I would do that, and went full-time in the ministry during that time. And right about that time, they had contacted us and said, well, I've been trying to renew our lease with them because we wanted to expand for some Sunday school rooms. And we'd just done some remodeling there and added a bathroom and put some money into it. And the brothers had spent a lot of time into it. And so we were trying to renew our lease. And they finally got back with me and said, the reason we haven't got back with you is because we're not going to renew your lease. There's a restaurant that's coming in, and they want to have a liquor license. And because of that, with Indiana state law, they can't be within so many feet of a church. And said, you're not going to be able to renew. And not only that, but you need to be out by the end of the month. And so we began to look. Well, during that time, as we'd been remodeling, Brother Layton had came in one day and we were doing some remodel work there. And he said, Brother Nathan, my son Daryl just called me and said that he saw a church for sale down on Grantline Road. And I said, don't even talk to me about a church right now. We just put $5,000 in a bathroom remodel and spent all this time. I said, I don't even want to think about buying a church for at least 2 years. This was October of 2015. And so I said, no, I don't. He said, well, let's just go look at it. And I said, all right, we'll go look at it. And we pulled up in this big, huge Methodist church with all these schoolrooms and things. I thought there's no way we could ever afford that. And we didn't see any for sale sign anyhow. But I called the phone number on the door and I left a message and they never got back with me. And about 2 weeks later, we got the message about not being able to renew the lease. And I had made the announcement at the church there, and it was kind of a hard service, and Brother Layton came up and had some very encouraging things to say and kind of described what he'd like to see in a church, and then a brother spoke in tongues, and there was an interpretation that went forth that God was telling us he'd lead us and guide us with a mighty hand, and it just encouraged us. And it was just a couple days later, I got a phone call from Pastor Tony from Wesley Chapel, and he said, did you call about the Methodist church now on Grantline Road, the United Methodist Church? I said, yes, sir, we did. And I said, we were just kind of curious. And he said, well, he said, I'd like to meet with you. He said, what are you interested in it for? And I began to explain to him. And he said, well, are you wanting to purchase or lease or what? And I said, well, what we'd really like to do is a lease to own. And so we met him, and we began to look at it, and he began to tell us the square footage and the acreage and all that. I said, there's no way. I don't think that we could afford this. And he said, well, what are you paying now? And I said, well, this is what we're paying. And he said, well, what do you think you can afford to pay? And I told him, well, just a little bit, maybe above that. And so they came back and said, well, what we're going to do, we're going to rent it to you for a while until we can see if we can get it approved on a lease-to-own option. And they were renting it to us on a weekly basis. So on the months that it was 4 weeks, it was actually less than what we were paying at the storefront. And on the months where it was 5 weeks, it was slightly more. And they started doing that. And then they were paying the utilities where we had been paying the utilities at the other place. So we thought, you know, that had to be the hand of the Lord. And we began to get excited and make plans. And we had some wonderful services there as well. And then, you know, kind of unexpectedly, the church began to have a little growth spurt again. And we just thought, oh, my, you know, one brother came in and he said, this isn't going to work. You're going to need a bigger church than this. You know, he thought we was going to outgrow that pretty fast. And so we began to try to work things out. And then, as most of you that's here know by now, they came in and said, well, there was a cash offer that came in, so we can't offer you that. And so I made that announcement on Sunday morning, and by Sunday night I had three different people text message me and say, we think we found a place. And all three of them, it was the exact same place. And we got to looking at it, and it had only been on the market for 9 days, Brother Hoover, when that took place. And so I believe, and I'm no prophet, so this is just me speculating, but I believe God allowed us to be over there until this place would open up. And I don't know why, but for whatever reason, they wouldn't let us stay there through our 4th of July meetings. And so we rented the Optimist Club there for the special meetings. And we had all kinds of trials there. We had to call the cops a couple times because the people causing problems in the parking lot and all kinds of excitement and things. But we had some wonderful meetings there as well. And you know, we had a few just, as Brother Trevor would call them, ordinary services. It was just a regular service where the pastor was preaching, but we had some good services there too. And then the Lord brought this about, and we've seen Him provide not only for the church, but for families in the church at times where they didn't know where the provisions were going to come from, but yet God would move on the scene and provide, lay it on people's heart and do things. And we've seen miracles here. I was telling the church in Delaware some things that's taken place here at the church, how that God has moved. I was sharing about Brother Joel's healing that I shared this morning, being healed from hepatitis B and having the paperwork where the doctor said that you're positive here and negative there. And a sister came one service at the storefront and said, the doctors have done some blood work and say I have leukemia. And I said, don't you claim that. Don't accept that. We're just going to pray and believe that it's not. And I think if I remember correctly, I said the doctors have brought forth an evil report, but we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit will bring a good report. And so we had prayer, and she came back a few weeks later and said, I had additional blood work, and there's no leukemia. So God's good. Amen. He's still a healer. And so many things that we've seen Him do, different times we've seen Him working on both ends of the line. I can look around and see different families and you know, how that you came and the stories behind it and just so many ways that God has moved. I found out a little while after we started the church, my brother told me, he said, I've been praying, him and Sister Tina had been praying for 2 years that God would lead me or Brother Trevor to start a work in this area. I had another sister approach us a short while after that, and she said, I've been praying for 10 years that God would start a work like this in our area. And I, you know, it humbles you to realize that, you know, it wasn't me, it wasn't my idea, it wasn't my plans, because my plans were very different, but just to see how that God can use and you know, the different brothers, the deacon brothers, the trustee brothers, you know, the minister brothers that have made this their home church, how God has used each one just to be instruments that He could use to encourage us in times when we need it, and to help different ones and lay it on different ones' hearts. And just some of the testimonies even of you know, how people decided to make it their home church. We had one family that was coming to the storefront and was trying to decide what to do, and unbeknownst to one another, they had prayed and just asked, Lord, let there be something in this service that lets us know that this is You. And it wound up being a tape service, and there was something, when the sister heard something on the tape, it just locked down in her heart. She said, that's the answer. That's what I've been looking for. And they got in the car that night, and she turned to her husband, and he said, I've got to tell you something. And she said, well, I got to tell you something too. And he said, well, you go first. And she said, tonight there was something on the tape that just struck me that this is what is supposed to be our home church. And he said, well, before you tell me what it is, let me tell you what I think it is, because it was the same thing for him. And so they ran into us at the grocery, and she was telling us what God had done. Just supernatural things that, you know, nobody can work that up or make that up or make those things happen, but God leading and guiding. And just, What a blessing and encouragement it's been. David said in Psalm 34, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. And I can say amen to that tonight. I've seen him come on the scene and do things that just, you know, It shouldn't surprise you because we should just expect it naturally. But sometimes God does things and it just floors you just to see, Lord, how unworthy we are that you would come and visit us in the way that he does and move in the services like he does, deliver people from different things. I had one brother tell me a while back, him and another brother had come to one of the services at the storefront, and both of them had been addicted to drugs for some time and was both instantaneously delivered in the service. That takes God. There's no notes that I could prepare or no psychological workup that I could do to perform something like that. That takes God. And I've tried to keep that in mind, that it's not, you know, people say, you know, Brother Nathan, you seem so humble. How do you stay humble? Stay humble because I recognize it's not me in the first place. Amen. There's been so many times Sister Tina calls it skyware instead of spyware, that, you know, you'd be talking in the service, and it doesn't just happen with me. I know it's happened with Brother Hoover and Brother Layton and different brothers. They, you know, be talking about something, and you'll see people start nudging one another, you know, and there's a conversation maybe they had on the way to church or something they've been questioning or wondering about, and God just slip in the scene, and maybe Brother Layton or one of the other brothers think, well, I don't, you know, sometimes we'll say, I don't know what that was about or who that was for, because you'll go way out here and left field somewhere and wander around, and people think he's never going to be able to bring it back to what he was talking about, and then the Lord brings it back around somewhere, and somebody say, you know, sometimes you hear back about it, sometimes you don't, but a lot of times people say, you just don't know. And then you'll have 10 people come up and say, that was just for me. And you think, well, it couldn't be just for you because the other 9 people said it was for them too. But I'm thankful that we serve a God like that, that can do that. And I'm thankful for what he's done. To look around and see different things that are testimonies, even just some of the physical things, the folding chairs that we bought. I remember we went to, when we was at the house and we needed some chairs, and we went to Lowe's and tried to buy them, and I went back there, and they had those suede padded folding chairs that we've got. They had a sign above them that said $9.95, and I thought, well, let's buy every one they got. So we went up to the front of the store and was going to get them, and they rang up $18.95 or something. I said, well, the sign on there said this, and they went back and looked at it, and they came back shaking their head, and they said, we labeled it wrong. I'm sorry, that's not the price. Somebody labeled that in the wrong place, but we're going to honor it because we had it labeled wrong. It was our fault. And so then we went back a second time and bought a second set of chairs, and we showed them the receipt, what we had paid, and they said, I don't know how they gave you that price, but we'll honor it. And then we went back a third time, and they said, that's almost cheaper than what we're paying cost. We're going to have to make it a little more than that, but they didn't make it much more. And so we certainly got a deal on those. And I remember Brother Layton now, when we have the communion, he takes the bread and burns it there, as the scripture teaches us to do, the remaining bread. But when we first started having communion, we didn't have a fireplace or anything. I thought, what on earth are we going to do about this communion bread? And so I went up to Home Depot, and I was going to buy a fire pit, and they had one there. I think it was $180 or something like that. And I said, well, have you got anything else? And they said, well, we've got this one. They said, nothing's wrong with it. Somebody just opened up the box to look at it, and now nobody wants to buy this one that has the open box. And you could tell it had been there a long time. It had about an inch of dust on it. And I said, well, what do you do for me on it? And he said, well, I think we can come down, you know, he said, I think around $100 or something like that. And I said, okay, I'll take it. And in the meantime, he said, let me go get it approved by my manager. And he went off to go talk to somebody. And I got it on the cart and took it up to the front while he was checking to make sure he could get it approved. And his manager came back up and he said, what are you buying it for? And I said, well, it's for a church. And he said, how does $60 sound? I said, I'll take it. I'll take it. And God just it seemed like everything God paved a way. Either he already had provided it, or he provided it at a price we could afford it and begin to move. And you know, my Uncle Morse, he had remodeled his church years ago and had given me, I wasn't even a pastor at the time, hadn't even thought about pastoring a church. And he said, you want my old PA system? I said, sure, I'll take it. And I put it in our storage unit for about 5 or 6 years or more, I guess more than that. And then finally one day we found out we needed a PA system. And so we started setting that up. And we've been all kinds of different places. I think for Easter one year we couldn't rent the schoolhouse because somebody had already reserved it, and we was at Holiday Inn Lakeview. So we've had service here, there, and everywhere. But God's been each place we was at. So that was the main thing. And I thank him for the building that he's provided. I believe it's a beautiful building, and I think it suits us more than any place that we've been so far, and is laid out how that you know, how that we need it and different things. And I'll remind you, we do have a baptistry now. So if anybody wants to get baptized, we have that. I haven't been filling it every service, but if you want to get baptized or know someone that wants to get baptized, we'd love to put it to use, and just let us know a day or two in advance and we'll get it filled up, and really looking forward to having a lot of baptisms in it, and a lot of weddings, and hopefully not a lot of funerals, but hopefully a lot of weddings. We've got a lot of young people coming up, and I'm hoping we all take a rapture and don't have to have. I hope I don't have to preach a lot more funerals, but we know God's good and He's mindful of us. You know, you just begin to look around. You know, even the instruments and different things. My parents had bought me this piano over here when I was trying to learn piano, and we already had that. Different things that God provided and made a way for us with. And I'm thankful to Him. He's mindful of us. And you know, sometimes when we're right in the middle of a situation, it's hard to look back down through that path and see, Lord, You provided here and 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 here. But then we get stuck on this one thing that we're facing right now. We think, oh Lord, how is this ever going to look? Well, why don't you look back down the pathway a little bit and remember some of the things He's done for you, where He's brought you from, and how He provided for you when you didn't think that you could make it, and how that He healed you when maybe you didn't think you were going to pull out of it, and all the different things that He's done. He's still that same God tonight. He's still a provider. He's still a way maker. He's still able tonight. And I know there's many that are facing needs, and maybe some of you are facing things I don't even know about, but he's still on the throne tonight. The same God that provided each step of the way, He's still on the throne. And I thank Him for our little church, and not just the building, but the people that assemble together. I'm thankful for the testimonies. I could just go and look out each family here tonight and just pick out different testimonies of how you came and what brought you here and how you heard about it and what some of the things that struck you when you first started coming and different things. It's been so nice for me to kind of let God, just watch God grow at a family at a time and be able to see some of those things and enjoy those things. It's been special to me, and I appreciate the ones that come, you know, whether you come 2 miles away or whether you drive an hour and 45 minutes or whatever it is. We've got people coming from a lot of different areas, but I appreciate those that come and that feel led to be a part of the work that the Lord's doing here. I'm just thankful to be a part of it. I don't claim to be the reason for the success of it. I'm thankful to be a part of it. I want to read another scripture here tonight, and I'm not going to talk your arm off. I could go on and on and on about testimonies of things God has done, but just wanted to, I'd taken down a few that I definitely wanted to mention, and just some others that the Lord's laid on my heart while we were talking. But let's read this from Psalm 103 tonight. I just want to read a few verses out of this scripture. If the musicians want to go ahead and come, we'll sing a song after that, that you'll be able to tell pretty quickly what song I'm going to sing. Psalm 103, verse 1. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm thankful for what He's done for the church, what He's done for individual families. Amen. I'm thankful that we don't just have to look back at history and some of these things that I've shared with you that's happened over the last 5 years, but that we still seem on a service-to-service basis doing things and dealing with people's lives. I know there were several people just today in the service that just was tremendously affected by the service. I can't take credit for that. It wasn't me that they were affected by. It was the presence of the Holy Spirit that quickened what was being said to their lives. And I'm thankful that we can see God still moving in that way. And I know there's many that look around and they feel like, oh my, it just seems like you can't feel the Lord anymore. I want to say, well, maybe you should drop in sometime. I had one brother tell me, he said, Brother Nathan, he said, do you feel the presence of God anymore? He said, just seems like I haven't felt Him in so long. I thought, brother, if I didn't have to proselyte to do it, I'd sure tell you a few things. I can't imagine living without His presence. I'm thankful for His presence. Let's just bow our heads tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we come tonight, Lord, not to bring glory to a man or Lord, to a group of people, but Lord, we want to give You glory as we look back down through our lives and as we look back through the little brief history of the church, Lord, that we've had. Lord, so many testimonies that You've done, so many healings. Lord, so many things that we've seen You move and change lives, Lord, and restore families. And Lord, how we've seen You move on the scene, Lord. And those that were running from the Lord, get a hold of them and turn them around and set them in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful to have a small part in, Lord, the work that You're doing, not just in this area, but Lord, the work that You're doing around the world through this great message that we've received. I'm so thankful to be able to be identified with it, to be associated with believers that still love You and still believe this word and are living it, Lord, and holding on to it with everything that's within them. I just want to thank You tonight, Lord. We just want to take some time to look back at some of the things, Lord, that You've done. Lord, some of it just supernatural, Lord, the way You've handled things and gone about doing things in our lives, and in our families, in our churches, Lord. We're so thankful. So thankful, Father. We're so blessed. It humbles us, Lord, to know that You would think that much of us, that You would care that much about us, Lord, to even be concerned about some of the little things, that You would provide chairs and songbooks and things like that, Lord, that You're concerned even in the little things and in the details. We're so thankful, Lord, that You make a way, even seemingly when it seems like there would be no way, yet You come in and make a way. Lord, we just come together tonight to worship You for a little while. We want to bless Your name tonight. Lord, as the psalmist said, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me. Oh, Lord, I want to bless You with every aspect of my life, Lord. May my life just be a living testimony, a living example, Father. We love You tonight. We thank You for all the things that we see You doing. Lord, if there's needs tonight, Lord, may the things that have been said just boost the people's faith to recognize You're still moving in these ways, Father. You're still providing. You're still leading. You're still guiding, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for being mindful of us. Lord, even many times, Lord, we don't deserve it, but You still care for us, Father. Thank You tonight, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Yes, I will bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For I know He has done great things. Oh, church, tonight I know He has done some great things. In my life He has done great things. I want to bless His holy. What about in your life? Can you testify about it tonight? Just sing it to Him. I know He has done great things. Lord, as we look back down life's pathway, we recognize You've done some great things. Oh, Lord, You have done great things. I want to bless Your holy name. Oh, His holy name. Lord, I want to take some time to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, all that is within me, I want to bless His holy name.
Oh, even when I'm sick, even when I'm tired, even when I'm weak and maybe I don't feel like it, I'll bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all. Yes, Lord, I want to bless your holy name, for I know He's done great things. We can look around and see that He has done great things. We can look at families and see that He has done great things. I want to bless His holy. Oh, He's worthy to be blessed tonight. I will bless the Lord. Look back at the testimonies, we can see that He has done great things. Maybe even in your own family, you can see He has done great things. Oh, I know He. Oh, yes, Lord. I want to bless His holy name. Lord, I can testify that You have done great things. Why don't you look at your neighbor tonight and tell him, oh, he's done some great things in my life. I know that He has done great things. Oh, we thank You for what You've done for us, Lord. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, every salvation, for everyone He's filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, I will bless the Lord. For every backslidden family member that He's brought back to God. For every child that He's saved from sickness, from death. I want to praise Him tonight for what He's done for us. Oh, we're not worthy, but He's so mindful. I will bless the Lord. Oh, I want to bless Him for every time He's protected me on the roads, protected me from sin, protected me from falling. Oh, yes, I will bless the Lord. Oh, yeah. We love You, Jesus. We thank You, Father. Testimony is He has done great things. What a mighty God, He has done great things. Oh, let's bless His holy. Oh, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Oh, I will bless the Lord. Oh, He healed me when I was sick. He saved me when I was lost. He filled me when I was empty. I have so much to bless Him for. His holy name. Oh, I will. I want to bless the Lord.
He's done great things. Oh, He sing, it's nice to be reminded that we have so much to be thankful for. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Though I can't repay from my heart, I would like to say, Lord, I thank you.
I think we can all relate to.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I thank you, Lord, for making me whole. I thank you, Lord, for giving to
Let's sing it as we go.